Hello, everyone, and welcome in once again to the Talking Puck Podcast. Tom Callahan, Mike Haynes here with you. I'm at Callahan on air on Twitter. He is at BusterTheDog33. Please give us a follow on the podcast here. If you like what you hear, subscribe. We appreciate it. We're also on live Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Twitch, YouTube, and now Facebook Live, LinkedIn, and Twitter. So we are just growing all the time, Mike.
Everywhere.
All these accounts that Mike doesn't have.
Talking Puck.
That's right. Well, that's my goal, is that you can't escape Talking Puck.
It's almost impossible now.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
I'm world domination, you know? That's like pinky in the brain. We're going to take over the hockey world. So, Mike, you actually, we were kind of trying to figure out how we were going to do this pod, and then you got on an awesome rant, and I wanted to use it as the podcast for this episode, because I think you and I, and so I started with this statement: hockey wants personalities, the media loves personalities, and in a social media era where things are being shared on TikTok, on Instagram, you know, Twitter, wherever you're sharing, that people are more and more used to putting themselves out there and these things just being part of their daily life. The NHL always, you know, a lot of people lament, oh, there's no personalities, nobody talks, you know, everybody's too polite. Well, now you're starting to get some players, and we were talking about the All-Star competition and Trevor Zegras in the dodgeball costume as Peter LaFleur and the blindfold, and that was a crazy goal. He scored it blindfolded, but then in a real game, does the scoop, the Mike leg, the lacrosse style going behind the net in Montreal, which was weird because he did it with no fans in the building, so nobody reacted to it. But the Ducks had that killer passing play from behind the net earlier this year, the lob and then the batted out of midair. That's exciting. It's fun. It's skill. Haven't we been talking about wanting more skill in this game for a while? What's the problem?
I think part of the problem is the way that national media responds to this. And I listen, watch a lot of the national media. And I don't understand this, because I'm old enough to consider myself old school hockey. I love the traditions of hockey. I love the things that people in my age bracket enjoy about the game. But I also feel like we need more hockey imagination in games. They look like robots to me sometimes during games. Every coach has the same system. The goalies play almost identical, every goalie. It all looks the same. Every team has a small number of really super talented players, and everybody else is interchangeable. So this game, but the thing is, when you watch stuff like the All-Star game, you realize how much skill these guys have that they're not allowed to use during the games.
Yeah.
And then when they do it, here's where my rant went. I listen to these national broadcasters, whether on talk shows or during games or in between periods, analysts, and I can't tell you how many times after the two things that he's done this year that were phenomenal. To me, so fun to watch. Such great hockey imagination. And he gets introduced as Zegras. Some people like him. Some people don't. Some people like what he did. Some people don't. Why are we allowing the people who don't like it to be included in the conversation? It should be one of the most exciting, vibrant, entertaining players in our game just did this thrilling thing, rather than, well, some people don't like this. I just think that's such a downer on what the league needs to do, is to allow these young players who have this incredible skill to be able to display it, and they should be able to do it without these guys throwing a wet blanket on it.
And these guys, look, in any walk of life, in any office, wherever your job is, whatever setting you may have been in pre-pandemic, I know a lot of people remote work now, but even people on your Zoom meetings, there is the life of the party. There is the wet blanket, and there's a bunch of people in between. You know, there's those people. There's a reason why we brand some people Karens, and there's a reason why other people have, you know, these other different societal nicknames we've made up for them. But some people are fun to be around. Some people, you know, just have that personality. You know, they're ebullient, effervescent. We love that, and they draw people in. So there are those guys in the NHL. We just don't hear from them as much. It's interesting. This is, well, this is going back to probably 10 years now. Ryan Ellis did kind of a fun fake video, but he did this little video, and I don't even know if it's still on YouTube, but I just remember the gist of it was he called himself the human rocket ship, and he was scoring goals on the moon, and he had a stack of cash, and he was flipping it out in front of him, and he was just having a good time. He was still a kid then, you know, and he was just having fun. Internally, that was poo-pooed, and he was told to knock it off. And I don't think that that's in any way good for the game, because you are muting the personality of a guy who otherwise could help you sell tickets and jerseys and get really what this is. And I had a take about this earlier in the week, Mike. All-Star games are for kids. They're not for the adults. They're for the kids. But the personalities bring in the kids. The fans of tomorrow, the ones who 10, 20 years from now will be buying season tickets, are the kids. And how do you get kids? Have you ever watched a cartoon? It's full of loud noises, sing-songiness, and bright colors. So that's what the NHL needs more of. They need more of this, what's going to attract people to the game. And when the game itself is played, you and I both love the sport. We love watching it, but man, nothing brings you out of your seat like a crazy skilled goal or an amazing save.
I agree, and I don't know whether I have this theory. Tell me if you think I'm way off on this. I think especially Canadians were so indoctrinated by Don Cherry that he's gone now, but he had such a belief in this is how hockey has to be. And this and Saturday he was it, I mean the company would stop when Don Cherry would come on in between periods, right? They would just stop and watch. And I think he had such an impact on commentators who want to be like Don Cherry now, when him gone, I think he impacted a lot more people than you realize of how hockey has to be. And I think... I hear that in commentators, especially when I listen to commentators from Canada, and they are the ones more than anybody else that are willing to say is what I said earlier, where they go, well, some people don't like this, you know, some people like it, it is, but there's some people don't, and I think there's a little bit of that still Don Cherryism still pervading over. Commentators in Canada about this, that this is not hockey. This is not how hockey should be.
Yeah. And look, I grew up loving a physical, tough brand of hockey. The Sabres used to play that way when I was a kid, and that's what I was exposed to. But I also got to watch Hockey Night in Canada, and I got to watch Don Cherry. And I listened to those things, too. And, you know, I think to myself now, the game is changing. Fighting is gone. And it's funny how I used to get excited for fights until I worked for 5 years with Stu Grimson. And I worked with Wade Bielak, and I worked with Jim McKenzie, and I worked with these guys who it was their job to go out there and fight. And talking to them is an eye-opening experience. And it really, it made me realize, okay, that was a point in time for hockey, but the game's different now. And so if fighting is on the way out, there's no question about it. To a certain extent, so is hitting. I'm not thrilled about that, but that's how it is. You could still play physical, and I think you need to. Especially to win in the playoffs, but the game is different. So now I think I am more of a mind in the last, you know, I don't know, 10 years or so of, okay, well, this is what the sport is. Now we have to focus on growing what it's becoming and making whatever it does become the best possible product. And that is, to me, that's the important part. It's not about fighting for the old ways that are just gone. It's not about wishing it was yesteryear. To me, now, Mike, it is about, okay, how are we going to sell seats tomorrow? And that is really what it comes down to. We need, look, people are leaving sports in droves. Other sports are having this problem too, because games are too long, or they're boring, or they're this, or they're that. I mean, this is, you know... preservation instinct to a certain extent.
Well, I think some of it is there's too much politics now in sports too. I just want to sit down and watch. I don't want to read slogans on the back of football players' helmets. I just want to watch the game, and I mean that's some of it. But bigger part is allow these guys to use their skill, and the things that they can do is amazing.
Yeah.
And when it gets tamped down, and people are saying, well, some people like this. When you say that, what you're saying to the fans is you shouldn't be enjoying this. This is not hockey. And it is. This is what's happening. I can just tell you, even on a small scale, I've been watching high school hockey for the last 7 years. And it has gone, here in Colorado, it has gone 7 years ago. It was a bloodbath every night. It was just nothing but bigger kids trying to line up a smaller kid who had his head down and absolutely killing this kid. Well, the USA Hockey has done a nice job. They've taken away that stuff. Or at least made it more penalized. And they've really opened up the game in the high school level. It's no longer a case where the smaller kids or the skilled kids don't want to play because they're scared to death out there. And now the games are much more exciting, much more fun. And that's where the NHL is too. It's all about these smaller defensemen that can move the puck now. And it's thrilling to watch these guys. And you no longer have to be 6'3", 230 pounds to be able to play. It's right. Great. And these guys have tremendous skill. But you know what? Let's stop tamping it down. Let's celebrate it instead of saying that this isn't hockey. It is hockey now. This is where we're at. Fighting's gone. Big hits are for the most part, really gone. And now it's about the skill. And to me, I'd rather watch that than two guys going out to mid-ice and dropping the gloves just because they're trying to keep a spot on the fourth line. Give me skill every night. Give me great goals every single night or great saves. Athletic goaltenders are fun to watch too. Give me that. And then let's start praising it instead of putting it down.
And you're right, because I think we have built a culture where over the years where the skill guy is often looked on as a hot dog, as a show off, as, oh, that's bad. That's not how we do things here. No. Well, why not? I mean, that is a beautiful and rare thing to have. These guys that have the skill level, even if you just let every player, let it hang out there within the confines of playing a team game, it's still a team game, but they put their skill out there. How many guys on each team are we talking that have that elite level ability? One or two?
That's it. But the thing that we don't see though, Tom, and I think in general, if you're just watching games for fans, but you and I got to see it up close. I could see it after practices. I could see it. I remember. I know this is going to sound crazy, but when the team first arrived in Denver, they would allow front office people and broadcasters like me and even general manager Pierre Lacroix, we would go down on the ice and skate with guys we weren't playing that night after the team skate was done. We would go out and skate. And you would think, oh, here's this fourth line guy, he's a plugger. And then you'd see him just do stuff that you blow your mind away. How much skill those guys have. To get to the NHL, you have to have unbelievable skill to do things. And they don't get to do it during the games. It's not their role. But there's a lot of guys, Tom, there are elite. There's Canes and McDavid's, and there are guys that are above everybody else. But almost every guy on an NHL team can do amazing things. They just aren't allowed to. That's not their role. They're a third line guy. They go out there, for their 7-8 minutes of hockey, and they make a couple of hits and get off the ice and make sure they don't get scored on. It's a shame. And some of that's on the coaches, because they would rather win 1-0 than 6-5.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
John Sackett used to say that all the time. He'd go, coaches would scream and yell at us if we won a game 6-5, but it was perfectly fine. We won 1-0. The fans want to watch a 6-5 game. The players want to play in a 6-5. The goalies don't, but the players want to play in a 6-5 game. Everybody but the goalies want a 6-5 game, except for the goalies and the coaches. And so what do we have? We've got 2-1 games where it's just I don't know, give me skilled, fun goals, and I think you grow the game more so that way. But it starts when the kids are young. You dump the puck in, get off. Dump the puck in. What? Why are you giving up the puck? You're 10 years old.
Yeah.
Circle back around. Make some passes. Oh, it drives me insane. It starts early. Where you let, you know, and some, as you said, there's always some kid on a youth hockey team that can dangle and skate, but then he gets yelled at for being the puck hog, and other parents are mad, and you know, so it, there's, I don't know. I just say let the skilled kids do their thing, and let the skilled players in the NHL do their thing, because that's what I think people want to watch, and stop putting it down.
I agree. I don't know that I could put it any better, so that's a good place to jump off this podcast. But, boy, great thoughts there, Mike. And if you want to share your thoughts with Mike and I on Twitter, Mike is at BusterTheDog33. I'm at Callahan on Air. We appreciate you being a part of the podcast and liking and subscribing, following anywhere you get your podcasts, and also Talking Puck TV on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And we are now on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Mike is done. His topics are scrambled. He's done. That's it. The paper's getting tossed. He's out of gas. So, Mike, good stuff. And we'll have a lot to talk about on the show as well coming up on Sunday nights. Trade deadline stuff is not that far away, and there's a lot of news.
And the game get going again. You know, yes. We had that little break for the All-Star game, but now it's, you know, we get – if we. February can clog down a little bit, but I think once we start picking up speed through February and get into March, then you know, we can really start talking about, I think in the East it's about positioning, but there's still some playoff races to be had in the West that we'll be keeping an eye on throughout our shows.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on Sunday night.